The little book of 2 Peter. 2 Peter. We're at the beginning of 2 Peter, chapter 1. We'll be looking closely at verses 5 through 11 today. Growing in the grace and knowledge of Christ. Peter is aged now, facing his soon going home to be with the Lord, as the Lord had revealed to him. So with an economy of words, Peter, the man of action, writes his farewell letter to the church of the living God, the body of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In these three brief chapters, Peter focuses our attention and that of the church on the finished work of Christ. The finished work of Christ in saving us, in making us his own. And then, Peter reminds us all that this work of Christ is also an ongoing work of the Holy Spirit, applying the finished work of Christ, the resurrection power of Christ, and the living Word of Christ to change us and to grow us to be more like Christ in everything to the glory of God. Last time, we saw the words by which or through these. You'll find that in verse 4. And these words refer to the divine power of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. In all his majestic glory and the excellence of the image of God in Christ, the last Adam. Thus we have received, we have been granted a faith of equal standing before God, not because we are perfect, as we've been reminded several ways and times this morning. Not because we are perfect in righteousness, or because we are better than someone else. Beware comparing yourself with others. Not because of our righteousness, but because of our faith, our trust in the righteousness of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, alone. It is in His righteousness that we stand. Partaking of the divine nature, as we read in verse 4, does not mean that we are little gods, but that by grace, by the grace of God in Christ, we have become children of God and given possession of His eternal life. No ending. That is the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 12. But to all who did receive Him, who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. John 1:12. It is by this partaking of the divine nature, being made a child of God, that we escape the endemic corruption that is in the world because of sin, because of sinful desire. Disordered desires abound anywhere we look, whether it's out there or, unhappily, sometimes in our own lives. Disordered desire and confusion are natural to the sons of Adam. We receive that by being born a human being, a descendant of Adam. We have naturally a bent towards sin. So the disorder, desire, and confusion are natural to the sons of Adam. To those who live in the passion of the flesh, we hear the word phobia a lot nowadays, so you got phobia XYZ, you name it, is normal to those who are not found in Christ. Those whose desires have not been put in order by the Spirit applied Word of God and the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. Our text then moves us from the divine power of the Spirit-applied Word of Christ to make us His own and to generate within us new life in Christ as a child of God, to our responsibilities as children of God. Yes, we do have responsibilities. Thus, Peter writes the inspired Word of God to direct us in the way that we should walk as children of God, honoring the name of the Father and loving Him with all our heart. We are to honor the Father in our thoughts, in our thinking, in the manner in which we live, as our Father's child. Our text specifically addresses themes that run heavy on the heart of Peter, the under-shepherd of the one shepherd, as we heard this morning, the good shepherd, the founder and perfecter of our faith, Hebrews 13:2. The words of Jesus ring in Peter's ears as he pens the inspired words of Scripture. Feed my sheep. Those to whom His divine power has been granted all things that pertain to life and godliness. Those are the Lord's sheep. Then, with authoritative clarity, Peter gives us three directives for life and growth in Christ. And we will see these three from our text, verses 5 through 11. First of all, for this very reason, make every effort to grow in Christ-like change. That's number one. Number two, for if these qualities are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful. Thirdly, for, each one of these begins with a four, for Christ-like living confirms that you are a child of God in Christ. Those three again, if you care to know. For this very reason, make every effort to grow in Christ-like change. Secondly, for if these qualities are increasing, they keep you from being unfruitful. And thirdly, for Christ-like living confirms that you are a child of God in Christ. Let us read from the inspired Word of God. 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning at verse 3. His divine power. Referring to our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us to His own glory and excellence, by which He has granted to us His precious, very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. Verse 5. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, virtue with knowledge, knowledge with self-control, self-control with steadfastness, steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective and unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election, for if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. For in this way there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Dear Father, we thank you for your living, life-giving, life-transforming word, which came to us by men who wrote your inspired words. So we thank you for Peter. We thank you for all his life and life experiences and gifts and abilities that you gave to him, and then using those abilities, you're making him a fisher of men. So we pray, Lord, that you would help us to see what you're doing in our lives for your glory. For you have gifted each and every one of us, those who know you as Lord and Savior, forgiven of their sins, made a child of God, gifts and abilities, for which we thank you and ask that they bring you glory in and through our lives. For it is you we worship as we have come to do this morning, for you alone are worthy of our worship. May you be praised. In your name we pray. Amen. For this very reason, make every effort, energy, applied energy, make every effort to grow in Christ-like change. Now we have some athletes in our midst, and they know what it means to make every effort. And that's what Peter is referring to here. Put yourself into it. Make every effort. For this very reason, make every effort, applying all diligence. New American Standard. Applying all diligence To what reason does Peter refer? Peter links our thoughts of growth in Christ to the divine power that has called us by the living word of Christ and has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. God has birthed us, given us birth, making us partakers of the divine nature and escaping from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. That does not mean we are perfect. The sin no longer has power or dominion over the believer in Christ. His divine power has granted us life and everything that is needed. God has granted to us all these marvelous faculties of life for growth in Christ. Think about the analogy of birth, just physical birth. Your baby, your child has faculties, capabilities, and you long for the day that your child uses them and doesn't need to be waited on hand and foot. Well, that is true. Somebody has said that God has given us two evidences to everything He has done, and one is physical, tangible things we see and feel, and the other is His Word to properly understand the significance. So you look at Psalm 19, for example. Here we're talking about birth. So God has granted to us all these marvelous faculties for growth in Christ. All the means of grace you need to live godly lives in the likeness of Jesus Christ our Lord. We have obtained or received faith of equal standing with all the apostles of Christ, secure in the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. God has given us life in Christ. Now, for this very reason, make every effort. Use your God-given faculties now to grow in Christ. Peter sounds a lot like Paul. Paul writing in Ephesians chapter 2, you can read the longer context in context there. We will only refer to it this morning. Paul there in Ephesians chapter 2 is where God is at work pouring out His grace in Christ to call us and make us His own in Christ. God does this through grace, not because we deserve it, not because we deserve His mercy, not because we deserve His grace, and not because He is lonely, not because He needs us. He does not need our company or anything else. The triune God is totally self-sufficient. He does not need you nor me. He is the creator God. He is the sustainer of all things in the universe. He is the reason the electrons continue to go around the atom in just the right way. He is the reason that the world and everything in it is sustained. He does not need anything, and we do not deserve anything other than eternal judgment in hell for our wicked treason and willful rebellion in disobedience against His good word. Yet while we were dead, in our rebellious disobedience, shaking our fists at God, the passions of our sinful desires controlling us, commanding us, God in His mercy, God in His grace, called us to living faith in Christ. But God shows His love for us in that while we were still sinners, rebels shaking our fists in the face of God, Christ died for us. Romans 5:8. So Peter says, for this very reason, make every effort. The biblical theme is that God has done everything that only He can do to save us and to make us His own and to give us everything needed now to grow in Christ. He's given us everything we need. Therefore, make every effort to grow in Christ-like virtues of Christian character. Something that is badly lacking in the Church of the Living God. Again, that theme is repeated by Paul. Philippians chapter 2, think of verse 12 and 13. Therefore, my beloved, Paul writing in Philippians 2:12, as you have always obeyed, so now not only as in my presence, but more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to work for His good pleasure. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, says Paul. For it is God who works in you, and we are very capable of blowing it. So work it out with fear and trembling. Peter puts it this way. For this very reason, make every effort to grow as a child of God. The motivation for growth is out of gratitude for undeserved saving grace by faith in Christ alone. The desire for Christ-like virtue is to please the Lord Jesus who bought us, paid the price with His own blood, made us His own, and freed us from the power of sin, not the presence of sin, but the power of sin, and gave us His name. His name. We have been adopted and we have His name. The manners or behavior of the divine nature is not left to us to decide what that looks like. There's a lot of people out there who would like to do that. But the manners or behavior of the divine nature is not left to our imagination, as if we could form the image of God in our likeness. That's called idolatry. No, rather the divine nature is displayed in Christ-like living, Christ-like lives, lived out to the glory of God. Because Jesus Christ is the perfect image of God. Colossians 1:15, He is the image of the invisible God. And we who follow Christ are to be growing to mature manhood and womanhood. Yes, we have men and women made in the image of God. Genesis 1:26. to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, speaking the truth in love. We are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working together properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love, Ephesians 4. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement or add abundantly to your faith the virtue of moral excellence. Moral excellence, as is the excellency of our Lord Jesus, the last Adam, the perfect image of God. In view of His divine power that has called us by the word of Christ to life and has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, then we are, as Paul puts it in 2 Corinthians 5:14, compelled by the love of Christ to employ all our regenerate faculties to live godly lives. God granted us in Christ faith of equal standing with all the heroes of faith down through the pages of redemptive history, the equal standing of which is the righteousness of Christ. Therefore, let us apply with zeal all our newly granted spiritual faculties to please Christ in the way we live and what we think and what we desire. And then, supplement or add abundantly to your faith the moral excellence of Christ's likeness through knowledge of the triune God as revealed in the inscripturated breathed out word of God. Knowledge that is applied to a God honoring walk in Christ. To knowledge, richly add self-control. Self-control. It's an interesting term. It refers to the Spirit-enabled self-control. It is not your self-control that you have tried, perhaps in the past and failed, in Adam. This is self-control, the Spirit-enabled ability to restrain indulgence in sinful desire in order to follow Christ in the newness of resurrection life. In Christ, you can say no to sin's temptation. Not in your own strength, but you can in the power of Christ. To Spirit-enabled self-control, abundantly add steadfastness or brave patience. In the face of opposition and even persecution, contending for the faith. And to patience, copiously add godliness or reverent obedience to God in Christ-like living. And then generously add to the vertical reverence for God the horizontal virtue of brotherly kindness. Jesus taught that the first and second commandments summarize all of the law. First, by loving the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and strength. And second, by loving your neighbor, the one closest to you. as much as you already love yourself. Matthew 22, verse 37. So, grow in Christ-like character change. Change in character that is Christ-like. You can, in Christ, change. The world does not believe that. The world believes you're born and you're set in concrete, and that's the way you're going to be from now until the end of your life. There is newness of life in Christ. Amen. For if these qualities are increasing, says Peter, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful. They keep you from unfruitfulness. Growth in Christ means that the Christian looks more and more like Christ in the way that he or she thinks, desires, and behaves. This is transformed living that issues forth from the heart outward in the image of Christ. The word Christian, the title Christian, was first used as a derogatory term applied to those in Antioch who lived and behaved like little Christs. Well, that is exactly the way we should live. That is the way Christians should live and behave. For we are His body, and we build each other up in Christ to the glory of God. The Christian life should abound in spiritual fruit. Fruit that best reflects the image of Christ in all that we do and desire. Christ-like fruit makes our lives fruitful and effective in fulfilling the purposes of God in a world of darkness increasingly without hope. We have been granted the message of hope, the message of life and hope in Christ. It is the gospel message by which God draws people to Himself and transforms them as He makes them His own, transforms them in Christ-like living. It is the message of hope in Christ against which the gates of hell will not prevail nor prevent the growth of the church, the body of Christ. Now, whoever lacks these qualities, says Peter, is so nearsighted that he is blind. Now, I don't know if you got contacts on today or if you use glasses once in a while. But being blind is far worse than using glasses. You can't see at all. Whoever lacks these qualities does not look like a Christian. Is so nearsighted that he is blind. In contrast then with those who are growing in Christ-like qualities of character are those who are ineffective, are those who are unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord. That person is so blind that he is unable to discern his true spiritual condition. And thus he or she can have no assurance of his salvation. Sadly, that person is unable to be confident of his profession of faith and thus is characterized by fear and doubt rather than love, joy, and peace. Assurance of salvation is directly related to present growth in Christ-likeness and spiritual service and obedience, not merely to a past profession of faith at some point in history. God is always secure in knowing who His child is. God is never confused about that. God is secure in knowing who His child is. The call to confirm your calling and election is for our benefit. is for our benefit, so that we will not stumble in fear or doubt. Assurance is for our knowing that we are a child of God. The idea is not that we keep salvation by our works. That's impossible. But that by works, the Spirit-enabled Christ-like fruit will be assured, we will be assured that we possess salvation. You cannot grow in Christ-like change in your own strength. Maybe you've tried that. If you are growing in Christ-like, God-honoring spiritual fruit in your life, it is to the glory of God, and it is to give you assurance that you possess salvation. Peter says, use your God-given faculties of life that God has given you to grow now in godliness, and know that it is the Spirit who enables you to grow in fruitful Christ-like character qualities and effective service. Praise and thanksgiving to God will then be on your lips because of the life-giving, life-transforming Word of God that produces an abundant fruit of righteousness in your life, in the soil of your receptive and obedient heart. You see, the soil represents your heart. The fruit comes from that, what is worked out of that, what grows out of that. Proverbs 4:24, guard your heart, for out of it proceeds, it is the fountain of life, and everything you do comes from it. Practice these qualities so that they characterize your life, both in public and in private, when no one is looking. Then know that the integrity of your Christ-like life is only possible by the grace of God in Christ to save us and make us His own. You cannot grow in spiritual gifts and Christ-like character in your own strength, but only by the grace of God and the knowledge of God, worked out in your daily walk with God in Christ. And lastly, for Christ-like living confirms you are a child of God in Christ. That's what Peter is saying. As I'll try and explain here just briefly in a minute, I think that this passage here, verse 10 specifically, is the center of all that Peter is laying out in chapter 1. Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election, for if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. The word for fall here means to stumble in your faith, which means being consumed by doubt and fear. Consumed by doubt and fear. If Peter writes as a Hebrew would think, and I believe he does, then he probably arranged his thoughts in the form of a chiasm. If that is so, then verse 10 is the central verse of chapter 1. Everything in all of chapter 1 pivots around verse 10, which conveys the heart of Peter's farewell letter to his brothers and sisters in Christ. It communicates the hope Peter has for growth of the church, and it fulfills the charge that Jesus gave to Peter: feed my sheep. The those words were some of the last recorded words that Jesus spoke to Peter. John chapter 21, there along the shore of the Sea of Galilee, post-resurrection, Jesus has a conversation with Peter. We won't read the whole thing, but you can turn there yourself later. Three things Jesus says to Peter: feed my lambs. Then Peter says in the second part of the conversation, feed my sheep. No, it's tend my sheep. I'll read that again. Feed my lambs. Tend my sheep. And finally, in the third part of that conversation, feed my sheep. With those words indelibly etched on the memory of Peter, Peter sought with all his God-given energy and Spirit-enabled ability to tend the sheep, to feed the sheep, so that they and we would never stumble in doubt and fear, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. The words that end the book of 2 Peter are those. Chapter 3, verse 18. This is the will of God, that we grow in Christ's like change of character and life. Growing in Christ-like change will bless our hearts with more and more faith, hope, and love. Not only that, but our hearts will overflow with the joy of knowing that in Christ we have a secure inheritance with Him in the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Dear Father, we are so grateful for your life-giving, life-transforming word that comes to us this morning through the pen of Peter, writing, inscripturating the very words you wanted for us to hear today. So we ask that your word do its work in our hearts as you intend for it to do. For it is the life-giving, life-transforming word. And as you have promised, it will not return to you void. So may you be praised among your people today and until the day of your soon return. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.